It's playoff time. Welcome back, everybody. Week 15 edition here on For the Numbers, the game-by-game NFL preview for fantasy football here at FTN. My name is Adam. We're here. Hopefully you got that first-round bye, but more importantly, as long as you got in and made the dance, you got a shot. And if that's the case, we got a crazy week 15. No more teams on bye. Multiple injuries, especially at the running back position. A lot to talk about. We got to get you one step closer to winning that fantasy championship. So, we're here breaking down every single game, helping you set those lineups in week 15. Of course, as always, keep it locked at FTNFantasy.com for all of your content, not just football, but basketball. Baseball is going to be starting soon. We have an amazing baseball team that I'm excited to see with a lot of these moves that are happening around the MLB. Of course, football still in full swing. Rankings being updated every day from myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Jeremy Popolars, Mike Randall, Scott Spratt. Projections, tools, articles, videos, cheat sheets, everything you can think of. The Advanced Stats Hub, which I reference on this podcast every single time we do it. All that live at FTNFantasy.com. As always, be sure to check it out. Let's not waste any time, though. No teams on bye. You need a win. Let's get started with Thursday night football. Rams at San Francisco. Huge game here for playoff implications. Let's start with the Rams, who are healthy, and when this team is healthy, they are pretty damn good on offense. As we saw last week, as I unfortunately saw last week, as the Rams defeated my Buffalo Bills, dropping over 40 points. And look, when Matthew Stafford has his guys healthy, he's a much better fantasy quarterback. Shocker. He's now averaging 277 passing yards and about 19 fantasy points per game. In games where both Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp have played at least 20 snaps since the start of 2023. And this season, since I think it's week 8 when Puka returned, when these guys have both been on the field, he's been a top 12 quarterback on a per game basis. His average finish is around quarterback 11, averaging almost 280 passing yards per game. So, yeah, I mean, you obviously aren't going to get any sort of rushing from Matthew Stafford, but the guy's live to throw for 280 to 300 yards every time he has these guys, barring the game script, of course. And San Francisco, again, look like they'll be without Bosa, and their pass rush has just simply not been the same without him. I know they had, what, 7 sacks last week against Chicago, but that's a Chicago thing. Really is. So, I like Stafford again here. Low-end quarterback one for me. Of course, you're starting Puka and Kupp. Puka now only trailing Jamar Chase and Nico Collins among receivers in fantasy points per game this season. When he's been on the field, he's been awesome. Kyren Williams wasn't incredibly efficient last week, but had a career-high 29 carries. He has 16 carries inside the 5-yard line this season, second most in the NFL. He's handled 84.2% of the Rams' carries from inside the 5-yard line. That's the third highest rate in the NFL. So, San Fran's rush defense has been pretty solid. They are allowing plenty of rushing touchdowns, but that's kind of what you're hoping for with Kyren anyway, because he gets so many looks in close. Let's go to the 49ers side of things, where it's a little bit more interesting, starting with that backfield, right? Last week, first game without both Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason. Isaac Arendo plays 56% of snaps, which seems low, but it was closer to 70% before he suffered the foot injury. He had 12 carries to Patrick Taylor's 1 during that time frame. So he was getting right around that Jordan Mason type usage we saw weeks 1 through 7. Now, short week, he was limited on Wednesday. We'll see if he plays. If he plays, you're probably starting him. If he doesn't, then we have to start talking about Patrick Taylor, who came in, scored. We know how fantasy relevant the running back in San Francisco can be. Not overly worried about the Rams rush defense. James Cook did nothing against him last week, but that was also the game got out of hand for Buffalo and they had to rely on Josh Allen being Superman. I do think there's a chance if it's just Patrick Taylor that it's not just Patrick Taylor. Like, I think we'll probably see like 5 to 7 carries from Deebo Samuel, maybe some from Kyle Juszczyk. But we'll see. Again, like, if Taylor's the quote-unquote starter, he'd be a flex play for me with upside. And I think there's definite upside and downside with him if he starts. If Garendo's good to go, it's possible he's even a little bit limited on a short week where it's like 60-40 with him and Taylor plus the occasional Deebo carry. So we'll revisit on, obviously, on Thursday morning. We'll get that word. Obviously, though, I'd be a lot more hesitant to start Taylor than I would Garendo. Definitely not hesitant to start Juwan Jennings. He's been amazing. He returned. He had a hip issue, and then there was the bye. So week 10, he came back. Since then, 9th in targets, 4th in catches, 11th in yards, 9th in touchdowns, 9th in fantasy points per game. He's top 5 in target share during that span at around 29%. Deebo with just a 17% target share during that span. And how about a 44% first read target share for Juwan Jennings since week 10? We know in the games he sees 6-plus targets, he's been elite. Keep starting him. Rams secondary also a little bit banged up too. So we might see the debut of Emmanuel Forbes, which would be even better for Juwan Jennings. Deebo, there might be some squeaky wheel situation going on here. He took to Twitter talking about how he's not getting the football, and well, he's not doing great with it when he does get it, to be fair. Deebo Samuel now, less than 25 receiving yards in 4 straight games. Clearly the focal point of this offense is Juwan Jennings and George Kittle. Deebo, man, like, you would think he'd have a higher floor with the carries he gets and no McCaffrey and no Ayuk, but Juwan Jennings has just proven to be a really good football player. He's getting all the first looks from Brock Purdy. So Debo's now in that wide receiver 3 range at best. And at this point, you might actually just be hoping he breaks off a bunch of tackles or scores a rushing touchdown, because it's been pretty ugly. And then obviously starting George Kittle every single week. And I like Purdy here. Purdy and Stafford both in that like QB 8 to 12 range for me. Moving on, Jets at Jacksonville. And this backfield is tough to get situated right now because Breece Hall didn't play last week. It sounds like there's an uphill battle for him to play this week. And we saw pretty much a full-on split between Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis. Last week, Braylon Allen, 54% of the snaps, 15 touches, 22 routes, 5 targets. Isaiah Davis, 53% of the snaps, 13 touches, 20 routes, and 7 targets. Davis ended up playing a lot more on third downs. I think if we get Breece Hall out, I think you can flex both players. Davis would probably get the edge in full PPR formats. And the matchup's obviously good. Jacksonville allowing the second most fantasy points per game, 5th most receptions, and 2nd most receiving yards per game to opposing backfields this season. This feels like a game where the Jets definitely shouldn't be trailing. I don't know if they'll be up by 2-3 scores. I mean, the Jets are terrible, but I think Isaiah Davis's touchdown came from like 17 yards. I would still bet that Braylon Allen gets the first crack at the short yardage work, but we have to also remember it's different, at least head coaching staff and a different OC from when the season started, where Braylon Allen was the clear backup to Breece Hall. The season's lost. Obviously, you want to see both these guys. They're two young players, young rookies, but yeah, I think you can flex both if Breece Hall's out. I really hope Breece Hall's out, because if he plays, it's probably going to be gross. It's probably going to be a full-on committee or something, and I don't want that at all. So, yeah, I'm still kind of anticipating that Breece sits. I just don't see the reason for him to play. Jeff Ulbrich came out today and said he's still kind of struggling, and the season's lost. The Jets are out of contention, so let the rookies play. Let the young guys go out and see what they can do. A good spot here for Davante Adams, who scored again last week. I really like him here. Adams, since joining the Jets, is second in the NFL in red zone targets per game at 2.2. He has a 28% red zone target share during that span. And since week 7, a 29.5% target share against man coverage, which Jacksonville plays at a top 10 rate. So I like Adams. Wilson bounced back with a nice game. He was really productive against Jalen Ramsey. They're both top 18 wide receivers for me, definitely top 20. For Jacksonville, we saw Tank Bigsby retake the lead role for the Jaguars last week. 53% of the snaps, 19 touches. Etienne was at 47% of the snaps and just 8 touches. Jets allow the second most yards after contact per attempt at 2.6. That is very good for a player like Tank Bigsby, who is looking to break tackles and make yards after contact. So definitely ranking Tank over Etienne. He's the play here. Evan Engram, a back end tight end one with pretty much little upside, but an okay floor. He didn't practice with a shoulder, but it sounds like he'll be fine. And then Brian Thomas Jr. Sauce could be back, but like this guy is making plays. He's still getting you like 75 to 85 receiving yards, even with Mac Jones. So I'm still starting him as well. Dallas Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers up next. And Rico Dowdle remains a must-start player. He continues to play really well. In fact, over the past 3 weeks, Dowdle, 6th in the NFL in yards per carry at 5.6, 4th in overall carries at 59, 12th in fantasy points per game at 16.4, 6th in yards after contact per attempt at 3.5, 8th in success rate, 7th in explosive rush rate at 15.3%. All really good metrics. Panthers allowing the 5th most yards after contact per attempt and the 4th most yards before contact per attempt, as well as the most fantasy points per game to running backs, and the highest rushing success rate in the NFL. So, Dowdle, great spot for him. He's been good. There are some running backs that you normally wouldn't debate starting that I would start Rico Dowdle over, and I think Jonathan Taylor is one of them. That is a what we call foreshadowing, by the way, for the later games. CeeDee Lamb, you're starting him. Good bounce back game from him. Looked like CeeDee Lamb at times, which is always good to see. But Jake Ferguson, he's probably been dropped in a lot of leagues. If you need help at tight end, you know, you lost Taysom Hill, whoever. Misses, I think, 2 games with a concussion. Comes back and plays 77% of the snaps. Runs 80% of the routes. Has a 21.5% target share. The Panthers have allowed 10 touchdowns to tight ends this season. And when you look back at who they've actually faced at tight end, it is not impressive. It's Grant Calcaterra last week. It's Adam Troutman they're giving up production to. It's the Washington tight ends. Noah Gray. It's a lot of, you know, Juwan Johnson. It's a lot. Foster Moreau. It's a lot of really underwhelming tight ends that aren't even involved at the same level that Jake Ferguson we expect him to be. So I do like Ferguson. Check it out if he's been dropped in some leagues. And then that's pretty much it from Dallas. For the Panthers, Adam Thielen. He's on that wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 borderline. Since returning in week 12, he's averaging 8.3 targets per game. Bryce Young's playing better. The Dallas matchup doesn't scare me at all. So I like Thielen. For instance, I'd probably start him over all 3 of the Chicago wide receivers. For example, so. And then Chuba Hubbard will continue to see massive volume. Unfortunately, Jonathan Brooks tears his ACL. Just, you have to feel for him with him coming back from a torn ACL. But, I mean, he was already, you know, Brooks was eating into Hubbard's pass game usage a little bit, but Hubbard played all but 2 snaps last week. His volume is pretty much as locked in as anybody in the NFL right now. He's live for 25 touches. I think this game is going to be competitive, so he's not coming off the field. We know you can run on Dallas. Chuba Hubbard, must start running back. All right, we'll hit one more game before we take our first break. It's the Bengals. It's the Titans in Tennessee. Ja'Marr Chase, you are starting him, obviously. I got a lot wrong this year, as always. But one of the things I definitely got right was Ja'Marr Chase being my wide receiver one overall in the offseason. It's been unbelievable. He's probably been the best player in fantasy this year. Him, Barkley, and Derrick Henry. Just been unbelievable. So obviously you're starting Chase. Both Chases, though. You're starting Chase Brown, too. The elite usage continues for him. Since week 9, he's averaging 17.6 carries, 75.2 rushing yards, 6.8 targets, 5.6 catches, 48.2 receiving yards, 23 touches, and 22.7 fantasy points per game. He's played 86% of the snaps, and he's handled 48% of the Bengals' overall touches. That's not just running back touches. 48% of the touches by all Bengals players since week 9 have gone to Chase Brown. So, amazing usage. Pass game usage is making him matchup proof, even if the team's good against the run. So, yeah. Continue to start Chase Brown, obviously. And T. Higgins, there might be a squeaky wheel game coming from him as well. He still has way too much upside to even consider benching. And Joe Burrow is obviously top 5, probably top 3 elite fantasy quarterback. For the Titans, we did see the usage go back a little bit to normal from this backfield last week. Remember, back in week 13, it was Spears' first game back from the concussion, and he didn't really play a ton. Like, Pollard still played 73% of snaps. He played 6 of 8 third downs in that game. But this past weekend, Pollard's snaps went down from 73 to 62%, and Spears ended up playing 7 of 10 third downs, as well as every snap in the two-minute drill. So it looks like they're back to Spears being the third and long option, the two-minute drill option, but still a 62% snap share and 21 carries for Tony Pollard. Like, when he's on the field, he gets the ball as often as any running back in the league right now. Bengals' run defense was improving a little bit, but then just got gashed by Rico Dowdle. So Pollard, borderline must-start player. 6 running backs have rushed for 90-plus yards against the Bengals this season. And outside of that, the Westbrook-Akine touchdown nonsense finally came to a halt last week. Calvin Ridley back-to-back duds. I'm still liking the upside as a wide receiver 3 with a ton of potential. I mean, leads the NFL in air yards per game, top 5 in air yards per out run. There's just going to be naturally some low floor. Even the floor is not even that low. Like, he's getting so many targets. Like, but there's going to be some down games when you're attached to Will Levis. So just understand that with Calvin Ridley. We will take our first break. When we come back, a ton more to talk about. Every single game, every team on the slate. Week 15, it's the fantasy playoffs. Where else would you rather be? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. The Washington Commanders travel to New Orleans to take on the beat-up Saints. Well, let's start with the Saints, because this team is pretty easy, obviously. We did see Kendre Miller return last week. He played 26% of the snaps, had 10 carries. Definitely somebody I would add. Probably went a little bit overlooked in waivers this week because everybody was talking about Patrick Taylor. But lost season, maybe they start to get him more and more work. I mean, 10 carries first game back in a game that was competitive isn't nothing. We know how depleted this offense is. So I like him definitely if you have Kamara, but even if you have just a roster spot, pick him up, see what happens. Kamara, you're still starting him, obviously. Is that it? Like, Derek Carr is going to miss this game. We'll probably see Jake Haener. Yikes. Chris Olave, I believe, is eligible to return. I haven't seen anything on him. I don't know if I'd want to start him anyway. Juwan Johnson had like 50 yards and a touchdown. He would probably be the one player I would take a chance on. But now the offense looks worse without Derek Carr. Yeah, it's pretty gross. For Washington, love the spot here and the setup for Brian Robinson Jr. We last saw the Commanders playing week 13. They had their bye last week. Before the game got out of hand, which was early, but 36 snaps for Brian Robinson to Jeremy McNichols, 21 before the fourth quarter started. But the game was 28-0 with like 11 minutes left in the second quarter. So this game could also get ugly. But like in a more competitive game, we'll probably see Brian Robinson closer to that like 60 to 70% snap share. He has now played in two games without Austin Eckler. In those games, he's averaging 18.5 carries, 102 rushing yards, and 19.1 fantasy points per game. And the matchup's great. Since week three, lead running backs against the Saints are averaging just under 20 fantasy points per game, with 6 100-yard games allowed. And during that span, New Orleans is allowing 5.3 yards per carry, most in the NFL, 2.6 yards after contact per carry, fifth worst, 2.7 yards before contact per attempt, the most in the NFL. They're only stuffing 16.7% of runs at the line of scrimmage, fourth worst, and they're allowing the highest EPA per rush attempt, so Brian Robinson Jr., must start, love him in this spot as a favorite. And then Terry McLaurin's obviously been unbelievable. Finally, see him have a quarterback, and he's scoring touchdowns. He's giving you huge games. Obviously, a must-start player is Terry McLaurin, as well as Jaden Daniels. Baltimore at the Giants. This game's also pretty easy. You start all the Ravens, right? I mean, Giants, a team that plays a lot of single high. About 64% of the time, second highest rate in the NFL. Lamar Jackson, 9.4 yards per attempt against single high. Fourth in touchdowns at 12. Third in passing yards per game at 152.8. Second in EPA per dropback. Giants also allow the fifth most rushing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks at 26 per game. And then Zay Flowers against single high, 3.1 yards per out run, which is ninth. 631 receiving yards, which is third. And a 27% target share. Starting both those guys, you're obviously starting Derrick Henry. Giants run defense is already bad. Third highest explosive rush rate allowed. They were a lot better than I thought against the Saints and Alvin Kamara especially last week. But with no Dexter Lawrence there, I don't know how they stopped Derrick Henry. And then Mark Andrews, back end tight end one, just continues to get a ton of end zone targets each week. I think he's top 10 in the NFL in end zone targets since week six, scoring touchdowns almost every week. So not getting away from him. Then for the Giants, like Tyron Tracy, he had this little issues with fumbles, and we saw Singletary cut into his snaps a little bit, but it went way back up last week to north of 80%. Handled most of the opportunities, saw a lot of catches, but we have a massive pass funnel defense. The Ravens had the lowest percent of yards allowed on the ground this season by the Ravens. And now you have Tommy DeVito starting again. Which, like, Drew Lock's obviously not good, but, like, Tommy DeVito is worse. So I have Tracy as, like, a flex here. Don't love him, but if you don't have better options, like, it's not the worst. The volume and the playing time should still be there. And then Malik Nabers. I don't like this. Like, the Ravens on the season still allowing, I believe, just under 100 yards per game to opposing wide receiver ones. But a lot of that was earlier in the season. Lately, they've been a lot better. And again, now you have this Tommy DeVito situation. Like, the upside is still definitely there. I'm trying to think of realistic players you could start over him that you could actually have on your roster. I don't know. Would I start Adam Thielen over him? Probably not. I'm probably still starting him, but I didn't love to see that Tommy DeVito starting. Actually, like, did not like it at all. All right, that'll move us to Kansas City at Cleveland. This game's interesting because two teams on paper you think pretty damn good on defense, but Cleveland is allowing a ton of explosive plays in the passing game. And as I talked about a lot, their run defense without Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah has been a lot worse. And then the Chiefs defense the last like 4 weeks has been pretty bad. Mostly against the pass. They're still a massive pass funnel, elite run defense, but going to be some opportunities here for Jameis Winston. The Chiefs are allowing, I think, the highest rate of explosive pass plays over the past 4 weeks. So it's perfect for Jameis. Who is he's a high-end quarterback too for me this week. Jerry Jeudy, must-start player. I mean, he scored again last week. He's now averaging 9.2 targets, 6.3 catches, 113 receiving yards, and 20.6 PPR points per game since Jameis' first start back in week 8. He's also second in the NFL with 678 receiving yards in that span, behind only Ja'Marr Chase. We have to keep an eye on David Njoku. Didn't practice Wednesday with a hamstring. He, since Jameis has taken over, is third in the NFL with 7 end zone targets, and his 33.3% red zone target share during that span, third best in the NFL. And we know you can attack the Chiefs with tight ends, especially talented ones like Njoku. Chiefs allowing 31% more production than the average team to opposing tight ends this season. And as I've talked about, their massive pass funnel, the Browns, since Jameis took over in week 8, third in the NFL in neutral script pass rate, and then 71.5% of the yards against the Chiefs this season has come via the pass, third highest rate in football. It's a great spot for the Cleveland pass catchers. And as I mentioned, I should have mentioned with Judy, they're moving him across formation a lot too. We'll see if Cedric Tillman's back. It sounds like he's trending towards playing, but the Chiefs have been way more vulnerable to the slot. They actually allow the most targets and receiving yards per game to the slot this season, so probably speaks to more of Judy and Elijah Moore in this matchup. Finally, Nick Chubb, I'm not starting him. There's too many situations where Jerome Ford comes in for 2 straight drives. We already know he's going to take him off the field on third downs. And this is a team that allows like 60 rushing yards per game to opposing backfields. No thanks. For the Chiefs offense, this is a pretty interesting spot for Xavier Worthy. You look at Xavier Worthy this season, there's been a lot of almost plays. But against a team that plays as much single high and blitzes like the Cleveland Browns do, Mahomes is going to take some shots to him. 3 of Xavier Worthy's 4 touchdowns this season have come against single high. He's been deemed wide open on nearly 15% of his routes against single high. And he's second on the team behind Travis Kelce with a 17% target share against single high. Cleveland, meanwhile, plays single high at the highest rate in the NFL at 65.7%. And like I mentioned earlier, they allow a ton of explosive passing plays. 285.5 air yards per game, 6th most. 2nd most completions of 20-plus air yards with 27. And 18.8% of the passes against Cleveland have gone 20-plus air yards, highest rate in the NFL. And, like, he's been close. I mean, Worthy's 44.2% catchable air yard rate is 12th worst in football. So, it's been a couple misses for Mahomes. A couple times he hasn't gotten his foot in bounds. Mahomes, the FTN Twitter handle tweeted out a really cool stat that Mahomes is 2nd in the NFL in passing yardage missed with an open target with 562. So, if we finally see some regression there, especially in the deep balls, like, this could be the spot. So, obviously you're starting Kelce. Hopkins is in that wide receiver 3 range for me, but if you are hurting at flex, you don't have great options, or if you're just a massive underdog and you want to shoot for the home run, DFS as well, like I really like, especially in DFS, like Xavier Worthy in DFS, I would definitely get out some Mahomes Worthy stacks, run it back with Jerry Jeudy, something like that, because again, these defenses have not played well. For the backfield, Isaiah Pacheco, slowly playing more and more. First game back, 37% snap share. This past week went up to 46%, and he handled 16 of the 24 running back touches. And as I mentioned, this Browns defense has not been the same without Owusu-Koramoah, so this is probably the week you feel best about getting Isaiah Pacheco back into your lineup. Dolphins at Texans up next. Yeah, I don't know how you start C.J. Stroud in the playoffs. I've seen him dropped in some leagues, and I don't blame anybody. That stat I mentioned that FTN's Twitter handle tweeted out about Mahomes, second in the NFL with yardage missed on wide open players wide open. Yeah, C.J. Stroud's first. 718 passing yards missed with a player wide open. And then Frank from FTN, who is a genius, does so much great work for us behind the scenes with the charting, with the data, everything. He pointed out that the Texans, in one of his charts on Twitter, 30.3% blown block and pressure rate, which is the worst rate in the NFL. So the percentage of plays where they either blow a blocking assignment in the run game or allow pressure, over 30% of the time. As a result, Stroud, fourth highest pressure rate at 35%. He has one game higher than QB18 since week 7, and he's outside the top 25 quarterbacks in fantasy points per dropback. You just can't roll with him. You cannot trust him. You can trust Nico Collins. He's amazing. Since week 11, listen to this. Since week 11, when he returned from the hamstring, he's averaging 9 targets, 5.5 receptions, 88 receiving yards, and about 16.5 fantasy points per game. It's like, okay, that sounds good. It's fine. We know that he can be better, but it's fine. Keep in mind, that's all while having 2 touchdowns called back via penalty. 2 long touchdowns, by the way. And only playing 65% of the snaps because in his first game back, he was under 50%. So, yeah. Had the bye week to fully recover from the hamstring. Hope he full go once again. You're starting him, obviously. And you're starting Joe Mixon, who gets insane volume each week. For the Dolphins, how about Tua? Playing really, really well right now. Since week 11, Tua is second in passing yards, first in touchdown passes, fourth in fantasy points per game. The Texans are a team, like, they can get pressure on you, but when they don't, the secondary struggles. According to the Stats Hub, third highest open separation rate allowed when in man coverage for the Texans at 35%. That goes up to 41% open separation rate when in man coverage and failing to get pressure. And like we know, like nobody gets the ball out of their hands faster than Tua. So yeah, keep starting Tua. The secondary is one you can attack, which is good for Tyreek Hill, who's starting to bounce back a little bit. And Jalen Waddle, last 3 weeks, top 10, I think top 12 wide receiver in fantasy points per game. They're getting him more of these crossing routes, letting him do more after the catch instead of relying on these deep post routes that aren't there. The overall target share for him is up by 4%. These past 3 weeks. The Texans, bottom 5, top 5, however you want to look at it, and receiving yards per game allowed to opposing wide receiver 2. So, yeah, this is the best I felt about Jalen Waddle all year. Jonnu Smith, his overall targets and first read stuff was way down last week, but then overtime happens and they throw to him like 6 times. He scores the game-winning touchdown. He's still pretty much a must-start tight end. And, of course, you're starting Devon Achane, who is now averaging 6.6 targets, 6 catches, 44 receiving yards, and just over 22 PPR points per game in games where Tua Tagovailoa has played this season. If I'm not mistaken, that is it for the 1 o'clock games. I'll double check, but pretty sure that's it. So many games this week. Too many. Is there such a thing? We also have those 2 Monday games, which adds to everything. But yeah, let's get to the 4 o'clock games. Indianapolis Colts at the Denver Broncos. And I talked about, or I hinted earlier towards the fact that like I start Rico Dowdle over Jonathan Taylor in the first round of your playoffs. Probably. Jonathan Taylor has this interesting situation where in games where he's with Richardson, in games where he's with Joe Flacco. Because with Flacco, you get more upside in the passing game. But you also get more downside, and you get way less competition for goal line carries. But you get less downside of teams are just stacking the box against you. There's no threat for Joe Flacco to run. And as you see, I mean, he's only seen a stack box on 11.5% of his carries with Richardson this season. Opposite end of the spectrum, with Richardson, just a 5% target share. He's averaging 1.1 catches per game. And he only has 58% of the carries from inside the 5-yard line in games he's played with Anthony Richardson. Richardson himself has 37% of the carries from inside the 5-yard line in those games. We've seen it the past couple weeks where Richardson's taken some rushing touchdowns. So Taylor is guaranteed to play 80 to 90% of snaps and handle 90% of the rushing attempts. He is rarely coming off the field. And 2 weeks ago, there was a drive where he literally, in the start of the second half, had like 8 to 9 carries on one drive alone. But right now, he's getting a lot of those carries in between the 20s, which we don't love. Hardly any catches. And I don't know if there's a running back other than Barkley that you worry about the quarterback taking rushing touchdowns as much as Jonathan Taylor. So combine all that with a tough matchup, just 9.5% of the runs against the Broncos this season have gained 10 plus yards, third lowest rate in football. This is, I'm pretty low on Taylor. Like, Chuba Hubbard, no doubt. Rico Dowdle, no doubt. Brian Robinson, no doubt. Probably Garendo if Garendo is good to go. That's a little bit closer, though, just because maybe he's limited in some capacity. So they're all guys I'm starting over Taylor without really thinking about it. I don't love him. Richardson is a high-end quarterback, too, for me. Broncos, elite defense. I think they're first in EPA per play on defense. They do play a lot of man coverage, as we know. So, like, if Richardson can get out of the pocket, the defenders will have their backs turned. It allows him opportunities to run. This feels like a game with this defense, especially if Josh Allen isn't back, where he might have to run a lot. But we'll see. Dallin's practice. If he plays, he was the one Colts pass catcher I'd want to start. He'd avoid Pat Surtain in the slot, so that'd be good for him. For the Broncos, it's mostly just Cortland Sutton and Bo Nix. You know, it's it. Not starting anybody on the backfield. McLaughlin's played well for them, and he earned a lot more opportunities 2 weeks ago before the bye against Cleveland. And you also just ultimately cannot trust Sean Payton. We know there's a good chance that whoever the running back is will be productive, but even when Javonte Williams is playing most of the snaps, McLaughlin comes into the goal line, it's a mess. Game of the week, potentially game of the year, and I hope a Super Bowl preview. Bills at Lions. Start just about everybody. We know that. But yeah, like as a Bills fan, I am pretty terrified of what Jahmyr Gibbs and Dave Montgomery could do to this run defense. Buffalo's allowing 2.3 yards before contact per attempt. That's the fourth most in the NFL. 14.5% of the runs against the Bills have gained 10 plus yards. That's the second highest rate. And to add to that, they're allowing 5.7 catches, second most, 7.3 targets, the most, and 43 receiving yards, fourth most, per game to running backs, as well as the third most fantasy points per game to the position. So, not exactly a recipe for success when you're about to go against Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Obviously, both must start running backs. Amon-Ra St. Brown. The yardage hasn't been great. He was really, like, the Lions are so good because they have so many options, but, like, they haven't had to rely on Amon-Ra as heavily this season. You're not benching him, obviously. The Bills play a lot of cover, too, so it feels like it could be a spot where Amon-Ra just eats in the middle of the zone, but, yeah, like, you're not expecting these, like, crazy games as often, but they're still there, and he's still scoring a lot of touchdowns, but Jameson Williams is getting, like, 6 to 8 targets each week. The running backs are getting the ball. Sam Laporta has been more involved lately. Tim Patrick's getting involved. But yeah, starting all those guys, Jameson Williams is a high-end wide receiver 3 with plenty of upside, but just know the Bills for the past like 5 years now have been one of the best teams in the NFL to limiting explosive plays in the passing game. For Buffalo, obviously Josh Allen, just the MVP. Also, if he goes into Detroit, balls out, and wins, I think the MVP race is pretty much over. But yeah, it's a good spot where when Josh plays these elite teams, especially these elite teams that play a lot of man coverage, this is where you see him run. And there's all every offseason, it's, oh, is this the year Josh finally runs less? And yes, I need to run less. And yes, I got to be smarter and all this. And this is the first year between maybe that mindset and also scheme. We've seen it happen a lot. But if you just look at the games, the Chiefs game, obviously, most important game of the year, man-heavy Spags defense, Josh runs more than he's run. Against Jacksonville, a top team in man coverage, Josh ran a lot. When he's playing these man coverage-heavy teams, it's when we see Josh run, and it makes sense. Lions play man coverage at the second highest rate in the NFL. Against man coverage this season, Josh Allen has a 19-4 touchdown to interception ratio, 6 in passer rating, and he has a 9.3% scramble rate. Lions also allowing 25 rushing yards per game to quarterbacks, 7th most in the NFL. Detroit also top 10 in blitz rate. Josh Allen, 8 touchdowns, 1 pick against the blitz. So, yeah, obviously starting him, he's amazing. But he also will likely get Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman back. Khalil Shakir remains the receiver to start here. Leads the team with a 19% target share against man coverage. And Detroit, they struggle with slot receivers. 11.7 targets per game allowed to the slot. Second most in the NFL. 95.9 receiving yards per game. Third most in the NFL. So Shakir's a borderline must start for me. Amari Cooper I struggle with. Most, I guess it was his busiest day as a Bill last week. 14 targets. A lot of air yards, a lot of uncatchable air yards, but a lot of air yards. The problem is, because the Bills continue to use this rotation, because they play Matt Collins, Shakir's obviously in there. And now they'll probably get Keon Coleman back. Like, Cooper still hovered around like 60% of the routes. Like, we need to get him to that 75 to 85% range. I like Cooper in the spot with the matchup. But if Coleman's back, it makes me a little less. He's a wide receiver 3 for me with like legitimate top 20 upside in the spot. But man, we need to get him to that like 75 to 80% route rate because it's really holding him back a little bit. But being able to earn targets like that was great. And it could be a similar game environment where, look, the Bills in these huge games, we know the Lions are a pass funnel defense. This could be another like 40-plus pass attempt game from Josh Allen. And then I'm not benching James Cook, but I don't love him here. I'm throwing last week out the window. They fell behind early. Ty Johnson was the passing game running back, and he played well. Just wasn't a spot where James Cook was going to find success in that game script. And then Josh Allen obviously scores 3 1-yard touchdown plunges. Detroit's run defense a little bit more vulnerable with some of the guys they're missing. DJ Reader. I believe Ali McNeil's good to go. He should be fine. So it's a bad matchup for James Cook. I'm lowering him in the rankings for sure, but unless you're just loaded at running back. Like I'll say the same thing with Jonathan Taylor. Like if you can start two between Hubbard, Dowdle, and James Cook, I would bench James Cook. So just depends on the options you have. Steelers at Eagles up next. A lot of drama, I guess, for an Eagles team that's doing as well as they are. It's a little weird. Mostly the passing game, people are talking about, like, where's the production? And it's like, okay, like, they haven't had to really do much in the passing game. And when they've had to, Jalen Hurts has made enough plays. But could this be the squeaky wheel game for A.J. Brown as well? Like, A.J. Brown still has a 30% target share. It's just the overall passing volume from the Eagles is way down. 53.7% neutral script rush rate for the Eagles, easily the highest rate in the NFL. Jalen Hurts hasn't attempted 30 passes in a game since week 4, and he hasn't reached 250 passing yards since week 6. I don't know if he throws 30 times in this game, especially without George Pickens on the other side to maybe push the Eagles to score. But, yeah, I mean, if he throws 26 times, A.J. Brown's getting a ton of those targets. And against single high, this is arguably the best receiver in football. 3.5 yards per out run, 4th. 0.81 EPA per target is 7th. 56 receiving yards per game is 3rd. The Steelers run single high 61.5% of the time. 4th highest rate in football. Love A.J. Brown to bounce back here. Obviously, you're starting Saquon and Jalen Hurts. Smitty's a wide receiver 3. Like, I was so high on Smitty this offseason. It looked like it'd be a great call when the Eagles defense was bad to start the season. And that's what's really hurting Smitty and A.J. Brown at times. It's not just the fact that Saquon's the best running back on the planet and getting 25 carries per game. It's the fact that the Eagles defense, which going into the season and just the first couple weeks of the season looked like it was going to be a bottom 10 unit pretty easily. And then since week 6, they've literally been the best defense in football. That is hurting these receivers too. So with that being said, Smitty, borderline wide receiver 2, high end wide receiver 3. And, like, if you're desperate at tight end, like, Grant Calcaterra played 90% of the snaps last week, ran 93% of the routes, scored a touchdown. You're probably maxing out at, like, 4 targets, but no, he's going to be out there running routes. For the Steelers, it's really just Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth for me. Freiermuth scored last week. He's been a lot more involved lately. George Pickens probably going to be out again. None of the receivers, that's the thing. Like, they don't have a receiver that can command targets after Pickens. You're not going to see 8 to 10 targets from Calvin Austin or Mike Williams or Van Jefferson. But you could see 8 to 9 from Pat Freiermuth. So I like him a lot in this game. They're going to have to score somehow. Najee, it's just, he's going to be fine, but it's really going to come down to will he score and what pass game usage will we see, because it's been unbelievably inconsistent from him. But it's hard to bench somebody getting, you know, 20 carries a game. All right, we'll take one more break. When we come back, we close out the slate with a couple more 4 o'clock games and the primetime games, which include 2 games on Monday night. Don't move. We'll be right back to answer more questions for Week 15. Patriots at Cardinals up next. This has to be a spot for Kyler Murray, right? He's not particularly playing well. The production's been unbelievably inconsistent for fantasy. But now he gets the Patriots. I mean, 3 straight games they've allowed a top 10 fantasy quarterback, Tua, Stafford. Who's the other one? Honestly, forget. But Tua and Stafford just lit them up. This should be the spot for Kyler. And Richardson. Yeah, so they've been getting torched. I like Kyler here. I'm still a little bit worried about him, but especially in this match, like, he's had some tough matchups. This is the easiest matchup he's had in quite some time. I'm not going to waivers to pick somebody up to play over Kyler. James Conner, receiving game has been pretty solid for him lately. He's still in that probably like RB 17 to 24 range for me this week. Marvin Harrison Jr., I probably would try to avoid. It's just, they don't do a good job of scheming him open. We know that. That's been the case all season. Now he's going to see a lot of Christian Gonzalez, who has shadowed at times, and he's been good in shadow coverage. Wide receiver twos, for what it's worth, are like top 5 in receiving yards per game allowed against the Patriots. So Michael Wilson in deep leagues, there you go. But I just don't feel good about Marvin Harrison. There's a lot of receivers I'd rather start over him. And then Trey McBride, obviously. The elite usage, just can he score? I think this is the week. But obviously you're not benching him. For the Patriots, again, first week of the playoffs, it's really just Ramondre Stevenson. You hope he scores. It was Gibson last time this team played, but he's still getting the majority of the work. And Hunter Henry, I guess I'll also add. He's in that like Evan Ingram range. I should have pointed him out. He's been pretty good. Consistently getting like 7-8 targets each week with Drake May. So, yeah, I like Henry in that Evan Ingram, Mark Andrews range at tight end. Probably just below those guys, but definitely in that range. Bucks at Chargers. A lot of moving parts here right now. Let's get the obvious guys out of the way. Mike Evans, you're starting him. Baker's fine, but like that's probably it right now. Because we don't know about Ladd McConkey. If Ladd plays, you start him. Great matchup, obviously. Quentin Johnson's a boom-bust flex. We know that. But this Tampa Bay backfield, like, Bucky dealing with his back issue. Left the game last week, didn't return. Sean Tucker got mixed in. Rashad White was great. We know he can score touchdowns and catch passes. Like, I think I saw Bucky was practicing on Wednesday. They want to play all 3 guys in some capacity. Best case scenario for fantasy, obviously, you would, especially if you have all the Tampa Bay running backs on your team, is Bucky sits. You get a like 65-35 type split between Rashad White and Sean Tucker, which allows you to comfortably start Rashad White. And then if you're really desperate, pick up Sean Tucker and start him. Chargers run defense, that's the weaker point of the overall defense. So we'll have to wait and see. If Bucky's out, Rashad White's a really strong running back too. Sean Tucker is a not the worst desperation flex play. If Bucky plays, he and Rashad White are probably both high-end flexes. I think there's definite risk of like aggravation for this injury, for as we've already seen from Bucky. And then for the Chargers, like, you can run on Tampa Bay. We just saw that with Sincere McCormick. But, you know, do you feel great about Gus Edwards? He obviously has a score. Ladd McConkey, if he's good to go, you start him. He's going to be really good. But you can flex Josh Palmer in deeper leagues if he's not. And Will Disley's out, so, like, stone smart. we got some interesting options from the Chargers. Herbert's a little bit banged up, too. So it's tough to break this game down right now, but... I'm hoping and highly, I'm, you know, cautiously optimistic that Ladd will be back for the Chargers and back in our lineups for fantasy. Two of the primetime games, Packers at Seahawks. I mean, Jaden Reed's got to catch a pass, right? There's a lot of squeaky wheel stuff going on this week between T. Higgins and A.J. Brown and Deebo Samuel and Jaden Reed. Not so much Jaden Reed, like he didn't, like the team themselves came out and said they had to get him more involved. The problem when I was watching that game last Thursday was Jaden Reed, since his rookie season, has been somebody that comes out when the Packers are in two wide sets. And they went a lot of two tight end sets against Detroit because the pass game wasn't working. The pass rush was getting to Jordan Love. And once the Lions lost to Lee McNeil with the other injuries to the defensive line, Matt LaFleur said, you know what? We're going heavy, multiple tight ends, two wide, and we're running the ball with Josh Jacobs. And that's how they got back in the game and you know, controlled the clock and moved the ball. And that's great, but not for Jaden Reed, who wasn't on the field as much. So against Seattle, maybe it changes, but that's the key. He has to be on the field in two wide sets, which he just hasn't been. But he's a player when Matt LaFleur and the team comes out and says, like, we have to get him more involved. He's a easy player to believe that because he's the guy that gets all the scheme touches anyway. So it's pretty easy to get the ball in his hands. So Jaden Reed, low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3. And they're going to have to move him around here because Seattle's a team that plays a lot of press man coverage. They also allow a lot of, you know, they allow a lot more of the explosive plays than they do the yak plays, which could be good for Jaden Reed. Romeo Doubs probably returns. He's missed the last couple games with a concussion. Obviously, if he plays, it's not as good for Christian Watson, who's had a couple big games, and obviously Dontavion Wicks. Obviously, as long as he clears and... if he, you know, it's a Sunday night game, but if he clears the concussion protocol, he's probably going to play. He'd be in the flex consideration for me. If he doesn't somehow play, yeah, I'd probably just rank Watson where I would have ranked Romeo Doubs. And then obviously Josh Jacobs, you're starting him. He's been amazing, scoring touchdowns at a crazy rate, which has definitely hurt Jordan Love, who Jordan Love's in that like QB 13 range for me. He's played fine, but the touchdowns haven't been there. And Seattle's defense, really since week 8, has been so much better. So, Seattle, on the other hand, it sounds like they could be without Ken Walker again. And if that's the case, you just fire up Zach Charbonnet. I mean, Charbonnet, once again last week, great game in place of Walker. That's not really new. Well over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns, caught like 7 passes. You look back, he played 80% of snaps. He had every snap on third down and at the goal line. And dating back to last season now, Charbonnet has played 5 games with Ken Walker sidelined. In those games, he's averaging 17.4 carries, 74 rushing yards, 4.4 targets, 4 receptions, 31 receiving yards, 21.4 touches, and 21.7 PPR points per game. He's posted fantasy finishes of running back 1, running back 8, running back 7, running back 29, and running back 13 during those weeks. Charbonnet would be an easy top 15 running back if Walker's out again. And if Walker plays, it's a mess because I think we both see them plenty. JSN, he's been a top 10 receiver suddenly this season. The usage has been great with or without Metcalf, getting a lot more of the deep targets instead of just the 8 out of 4 stuff. He's a must-start player. Metcalf, mid-range, lower-end wide receiver two for me. And Geno is in a little bit below the Jordan Love range for me against the Packers, who are getting a little bit healthier on defense, especially in that secondary. All right, closing out with two games on Monday Night Football, Bears and Vikings. The Vikings, Aaron Jones, bounce back game for him here. He crushed the Bears last time these teams played. The Bears are a massive run funnel defense, and this season they are just giving it up on the ground. That's how you beat this defense. 4.8 yards per carry allowed, 18.3% avoided tackle rate, 2.2 yards before contact per attempt, 2.6 yards after contact per attempt, which is, I believe, the highest rate in the NFL, third highest rate in the NFL. It's just a bad run defense. You can get to the second level on them and make plays, and Aaron Jones already did that this season. Darnold's locked in right now. He is in that QB 8 to 12 range for me. He's just playing so well. Jefferson and Jordan Addison are playing out of their minds, especially Addison. Obviously, starting Jefferson, Addison. I mean, he's not just relying on these touchdowns. He's getting consistently a 20-plus percent target share. Like I mentioned it last week, but if you look at the first read target share over the past like 5 weeks, Jefferson still leads the way, but Addison's like 40%. Like, this is the focal point of the offense. It's these two guys, and it's kind of hurt T.J. Hockenson lately, who hasn't quite as been as consistently productive as we thought he would be once he returned and got fully acclimated. But I don't know if you're going to waivers and finding a tight end that you feel better about than T.J. Hockenson. Just like with Addison emerging and Aaron Jones being able to catch the ball, like you're probably getting like, it was like 8 to 12 target games from Hockenson appear to be gone. For the Bears, it's really just which receivers you like because the matchup's good. The Vikings are so generous to wide receivers as long as that blitz and that pressure doesn't get home, which is always a concern with Caleb Williams and the Bears offensive line. But DJ Moore and Keenan Allen I do like here. Romo Odunze still feels like a distant third. Not crazy distant, but still third on this list. Again, it's just as long as the line can hold up, there's going to be opportunities for these receivers. Like that's they've allowed, the majority of production this team's allowed has been to fantasy wide receivers. And they play zone defense with that blitz. So we saw last week, like Ray McCloud just eating up the underneath stuff. That could be Keenan Allen this week pretty easily. Now, finally, DeAndre Swift. He's like a running back three here. He has not had any sort of yardage the last 4 or 5 weeks. Vikings, still a good run defense. Doesn't feel like a great spot for DeAndre Swift. I would try to get away from him if possible. Raiders and Falcons. Is Kirk Cousins going to throw a touchdown? I don't know. You tell me. I'd like to think so. It's ridiculous at this point. I really liked Darnell Mooney last week, and he had some nice explosive plays to help him. London was more of a floor game, but I like both in this spot, despite how bad Cousins has played. Still getting the yardage and stuff, which is enough, but like just throw some touchdowns, please. Bijan's been the hottest running back in fantasy, not named Saquon Barkley lately. He's pretty much scored 20 fantasy points in like 5 straight games, I think it is now. So obviously you're starting him. Kyle Pitts, see you later. Falcons, pretty easy. And then for the Raiders, like Myers and Bowers, even with Desmond Ridder, you're still probably, obviously Bowers, but you're probably still starting Jacoby Myers. But Sincere McCormick, I mean, he's clearly been this team's best running back this season, which isn't saying a ton, but over the past 3 weeks, McCormick's averaging 5.5 yards per carry. Among running backs, so at least 20 carries during that stretch, he's first in success rate, third in explosive rush rate. Been really productive. They already came out and said that Alexander Mattison probably returns this week, but McCormick's still going to be the lead guy. Falcons defense is not good. Third most points per drive allowed in the NFL. You could talk me into Sincere McCormick as a flex in deeper leagues. Why not? He's played well. It's a good matchup. But that will do it for the Week 15 slate here, just at an hour, so the timing was pretty damn good if I say so myself. Let's get to the second round of the playoffs. If you have a bye and you still listen to the podcast for the analysis, plus you can use this for DFS, you can use this for a lot of different stuff. That's why I love doing it. Sit down and take notes. It takes me about 3 days to take all these notes, but I enjoy it. I love getting lost in it, love getting lost in the podcast and all of the analysis for each game. Best of luck, though. Huge week. Huge week. But you can do it. You got all the tools at your disposal, too. FTNFantasy.com, rankings from Jeff Ratcliffe and company, tools, projections, cheat sheets, data, stats hub, podcasts. You name it, we've got it here at FTNFantasy.com. Keep it locked. My name is Adam. Best of luck. Enjoy Thursday Night Football. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you in the second round of the playoffs next week for Week 16. Peace out.